This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macro and Tass. We've just approached the beginning of our second hour of the show, and we traditionally reserve this time for Macro's opinion piece. I'm going to get the ball rolling with this. Now, last week, while Macca was on his way to Sydney in his car, we had a fairly extensive interview with IBAC. I know Macca listened to it because he actually shot us a bit of feedback while we were on air. But Macca, what did you think about the interview last week?
Look, first off, I want to congratulate you and Paul for the interview. You asked some great questions and followed up those questions. It was very professional and very, very informative, and I also want to acknowledge that IBAC came on air to talk about their findings regarding the police action at Hares and the Hyenas. They don't do a lot of media, and so I want to acknowledge that they did that. But there were some really concerning things that that came up to me. Sorry, that appeared to me as I was driving along the highway and listening. One was that I asked myself the question, what is the point of IBAC? So if the point of IBAC, according to IBAC, is to have an independent investigative body with regards to Victoria Police, and you know, for them to be able to look at an issue and get evidence, investigate it, ask questions, and then reach findings. Okay, good in principle. When those findings are made, and we'll come back to what they actually found. There are. The ability of IBAC to make recommendations is there. They've made recommendations to Victoria Police. And when you ask the question, when you guys ask the question of the Assistant Commissioner, so what happens if the police don't implement those recommendations? Oh, well, then it'll go in our report to Parliament. Big deal. Right? So whilst I recognise IBAC have a difficult job to do, it's well-resourced. It's got an incredible group of people working for it that are, you know, highly experienced in this area, very well qualified. I don't doubt their commitment. The one thing that IBAC needs is it needs to go to a dentist and get a set of dentures because it's got no teeth. All right? There's no point having a watchdog that doesn't bite. And this watchdog does not bite.
So, Macca, is this a problem with IBAC, or is this a problem with the authorising environment that created IBAC, i.e. the government?
Well, IBAC was created, and there was a lot of discussion.
They're just doing their job, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're doing the job within the confines of how they were set up. So, when they were set up, there was a lot of questions and a lot of pushback that the organisation didn't have the power. It has the power to compel people to give evidence, but it doesn't have the power to compel its recommendations to be implemented. And that was one of the main criticisms. So whilst in this instance, yes, I'm saying that IBAC doesn't have the ability to implement its recommendations, That is because when it was set up, it wasn't given that power.
Mm.
Okay, so I understand that. But IBAC, in my belief, should be saying to the Attorney General, we want the power, right, to enforce the recommendations we made. If you have faith in our ability to investigate issues, which the government does, because I assume they do, because they continue to fund it and they haven't changed anything, let's make the assumption the government supports what IBAC does. Say to the government, give us some teeth. Give us the ability, you know, if you want an independent watchdog on corruption and to investigate issues relating to Victoria Police, then give us some teeth, right?
That was Macca's opinion.
Otherwise, IBAC, as an individual, if I complain to IBAC, it's the same as effectively there's no ability for the recommendations to be enforced or to get an answer. It's like complaining to Australia Post. It makes no point whatsoever. So I say to the government and I say to the opposition, if you want an independent body to be able to investigate corruption and the actions of Victoria Police in other areas, that's great. I agree with that. But give it some teeth. Right? There are good people there that are trying to do good work. I don't agree with the outcome of their inquiry. I think, you know, proportionate force, okay. You can have a legal argument about that. Have that argument with Nick Nemopoulos, whose arm was pulled out of its socket. Right? Tell him why the police didn't say. This is why I came back to the point is, at the end of the day, the IBAC found that the force was proportionate and that, you know, okay, they breached his human rights. The key question here is, did they find that the police warned, that they said they were police when they entered the building? They didn't find they did, they didn't find they didn't. Well, you can't be half pregnant. Either you did or you didn't. And did you tell the person they were under arrest and why? No. So you breached the Human Rights Charter. Well, you know, that's like the instructions on a cereal box. It doesn't mean anything. If the recommendations don't have, if the watchdog has no teeth.
That was Macca's opinion on the interview that we had with IBAC last weekend. Now, Macca, another topic before we run out of time that I thought you might be interested in commenting on is what's occurred with JobKeeper during the week.
Well, okay, we've seen JobKeeper was estimated to cost $130 billion, a lot of money, which was going to provide assistance on a fortnightly basis to companies for up for 6.5 million employees. Now, the government has said, well, actually, we got that figure wrong. It's not $130 billion. It's $70 billion. It's not $6.5 million. It's $3.5 million. Huge figures, right? The government is saying that there was an error made by... Basically, it's not the tax officer's fault. It's not Treasury's fault. It's not the Treasurer's fault. It's the fault of the 1,000 businesses who filled in the form incorrectly, apparently. So, if businesses misreported these numbers, and according to Treasury it was 1,000 businesses, that in a particular square, rather than the number of employees they were actually asking for JobKeeper for, they put in the fortnightly amount that they're expecting for each employee, 1,500. Bit of a long stretch, that 1,000 businesses all made the same mistake. But let's look at the maths of that. 1,000 businesses, 1,500 people, that's 1.5 million people that the government thought were going to get a benefit, but now aren't, because the business put it in the wrong box. So that brings it down from 6.5 million to 5 million. The government's saying it's 3.5 million. Where's the other 1.5 million? Like what's, you know, if you're going to tell us this is why, well, I tell you what, I've got 20 bucks in my pocket. I'll go down to the dollar shop and buy someone in Treasury a calculator. Because 6.5 million less 1.5 million is 5 million. It's not 3.5 million. So there's something going on here. Someone has to be responsible for this. You know, the tax office are the ones paying the money. What, they've just worked out that this is wrong? And Michelle Grattan actually reported this morning, the business misreporting didn't cause the Treasury miscalculation. The Treasury got its estimates wrong because it made the wrong assumptions at the start. The business errors meant it didn't pick them up because they reinforced its number. So the best thing you can do with a public servant is say, we're going to help 500 people, and then you come back to them and say, we're helping 500 people. The public servant goes, we've done a great job. We're only helping 200, but we're going to go with the 500. All right? So someone in Treasury in the tax office, do a little bit of due diligence, buy a calculator, an IBAC, get some dentures.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.